Okay. Well, good morning.
Yeah. Okay. So you can start off with your little thing now.
I wanted to update you on my Hive box. I got the box.
That sounds so exciting.
It was exciting. It was exciting. It was really good tea. I think that the shampoo is going to work out. I won't go blow by blow. I did put a little story on my Instagram that some people commented they liked the
photo. Did you do an Instagram story?
I did.
That's gross.
It went away. I don't even know. Where did they go?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Where did they go when they go away?
I'm sure they're saved on the servers, but you're not allowed to see them anymore.
Oh, wow. Anyway,
and
it's gone.
I think that's pointless. It's just don't do Instagram stories.
It was fun.
I don't care. You can just do a video and post it on Instagram. It's the same thing,
okay,
but it's not a story.
I wanted to update you because, you know, it's Valentine's Day coming up.
So they say, allegedly.
So they say. I ordered some of this chocolate for my dad. He's eating it all.
Which was this again?
Tony's Chocolonely.
Hivebrands.com.
I think that's what it was. Whatever it was. So I ordered this Tony's Chocolonely chocolate.
I hate bad names.
You hate that?
I hate bad names.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. Their chocolate sure does, though. It's pretty tasty.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's good.
That's a weird analogy. It rolls off the tongue and that's supposed to be good?
I don't know.
That seems like a bad endorsement.
Well, rolling off the tongue would be that, like, you could say the name readily, and if it doesn't, then it's bad.
You're talking about how it tasted.
Yes. Well, I guess, yeah, maybe that is kind of weird.
Mea culpa. Am I the only one listening to you right now? Why don't you listen to yourself so I don't have to keep doing it?
I hope that you're the only one listening to this.
It'd be a lot easier for me if I could stop listening to you.
Oh, my God. So anyway, Tony's Chocolonely.
What about it?
I think it's fantastic chocolate. And the okay. best thing about it, and I wanted to raise this awareness before.
Ooh.
I know, this awareness before.
I don't want to be aware. What are you doing to me?
It's slave-free chocolate, James.
Oh, whatever.
They use slaves to harvest cocoa beans.
Who
in
does?
West Africa. The farmers, the cocoa farmers, it's a huge problem. There are 5 to 6 million cocoa farmers worldwide, and 70% of this is from West Africa.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I thought a lot of it came from South America.
South America, Asia, and West Africa. It's like that 20 degrees around the equator situation.
Right.
So people are being trafficked to work on these cocoa farms as slaves, and a lot of them are children. And I started researching this because I'm like, is this just a marketing ploy for Tony's Chocolonely's? And it isn't. I just wanted to make that aware. They've known about
this. That's all you're going to say?
No, I'm not going to say just that. No, back in 2001, the U.S. House of Representatives actually did vote to consider a labeling system for slave-free chocolate. And, of course, the chocolate industry rebelled. Yeah, they came to an agreement, but it doesn't really do anything. There are several on this website that we'll link for slave-free chocolate. It'll list, like, all of the different brands that are not slave-free.
Boy, that's exciting.
I know.
Thanks for starting my day off. So,
I know.
Slavery.
There was this thing they signed. It was called the Harkin-Engel Protocol. It was just aimed to eliminate the worst forms of child labor by 2015. It was signed by all the major manufacturers, like being Hershey, M&M, Mars, Nestle's, etc. The Chocolate Manufacturers Association, the World Cocoa Foundation. But the protocol really didn't have any teeth. It wasn't binding. I just would encourage people to look on the website we'll link to see, like, there are a lot of good, really exquisite chocolate companies. The Tony's Chocolonely actually is one of them. And Misha sent me a little Valentine present from French Broad Chocolate that was delightful and just so delicious. And they're both actively involved in this situation. And the prices are higher, but I'd rather not support slavery. So that's my happy Valentine message to the world.
Yeah. That's great, but I can't afford expensive chocolate.
That's why you just eat little bits of it or don't eat it if it triggers a migraine.
Why would it trigger a migraine?
It does for me.
Oh, sucks to be you.
Sucks
to be
me. Why are
you buying chocolate then?
Yeah, I just eat it in little bites. Well, this is so good you don't need to eat chunks. You eat a nib amount.
Right. Okay, because that works. That works for most Americans.
We don't have to go overboard. But anyway, I found it interesting. I had no idea. Like you said, I didn't think it was a thing, and it was shocking. I thought it was a marketing ploy from this woke brand, and it isn't.
Okay. Well, I still need to see more data.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Don't. Just look at the website. I sent you the website. That's enough.
Going on to something more awesome.
I thought that was awesome, but go ahead.
Catherine.
Yes.
Are we controlling the narrative again?
Well, everyone follows us, James.
It's not just following now.
No, now we're controlling. I know.
You're dictating policy in China.
It was all you. I'm not stepping into that international milieu.
What are you talking about? We discussed it 2 weeks ago.
I know where you're going.
Go. You go with it. This is your. You got to make up for the chocolate thing.
You mean the Fight Club thing?
Yes.
I thought that was amazing. The Chinese company Tencent basically restored the Fight Club ending to the original ending after a backlash on the internet.
Was it after a backlash on the internet or after we exposed them?
I guess we're on the internet, so.
No. It was us. How does it feel to be feared?
It feels heavy.
Feels heavy? What are you talking about?
It feels heavy. There's too much responsibility.
That is not the way you're supposed to respond to this kind of thing. When you have power, you should revel in it.
No.
It's like my son, I just started teaching my son how to drive.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't like it. He says, I don't know, Dad. It's just, I don't like this idea that I have all this responsibility. And if I make a mistake, I could hit someone or I could cause a lot of damage.
Exactly.
Like, Robert, you are a white male.
Oh, no.
This is what you were literally born for.
No, you did not say that to your son.
No, I didn't say that.
Thank God.
That would have been awesome. It's like, you're a white. This is your inheritance, imposing your will over other people. Yeah, it is funny, though. I mean, this young generation is kind of weird about driving. A lot of them don't drive.
A lot of them don't drive.
And I can't imagine that.
I couldn't wait to drive.
Yeah, like normal people. But anyway, I thought that was wonderful about the China thing.
I did,
that
too.
We're forcing China to change its policies because they are afraid of us. Us and our 12 listeners.
You think we only have 12 listeners?
Maybe 13.
Okay, that's good.
They're all yours, though.
Well, they restored 11 of the 12 minutes that was cut, right?
Apparently, they kept out the nudity.
I don't even recall any nudity. Was there nudity?
Oh, yeah. There was sex in that movie.
There was?
Oh, yeah. Sex and violence.
Maybe I watched the Chinese version.
Well, that was dumb.
I don't recall that.
Anyway. Other dumb things. If you're a security guard in Russia, just a little heads up, little pro tip for those starting your first day as a security guard at a museum in Russia, don't draw on the paintings. I know this may come as a big shock to you, but that's something that is generally frowned upon, so avoid doing that. This is the point at which you would interject.
Well, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that happened on the guy's first day of work.
It didn't just happen. He did it.
I know. He made a conscious effort to improve artwork.
So we're talking about?
Yes. Tell him what we're talking about.
I don't know what his intent was, but a Russian guard apparently started his first day at the Yeltsin Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, now that the Yeltsin Gallery is in the news, how long do you think that's going to be renamed by Mr. Vladimir?
Well, when Yeltsin left power, he wasn't very popular, right?
He's very unpopular.
I was surprised it was still the Yeltsin Gallery.
Exactly. So I think now that it's been in the news, I think old Vladimir is probably going to wait maybe a couple of weeks after he invades Ukraine and then change the name. Because you can either like Yeltsin or like Putin. They're basically the opposites. So you can't really support both. But anyway, I digress.
Because I was going to ask you, what was the weirdest thing you ever did on the first day on the job?
I can't even begin to answer that question.
And nothing can top this, so what difference does it make?
Well, I'm sure some people have much more weird things they do. This isn't that much of a big deal in my mind, but
I think it's a huge deal. You walk in to a Russian gallery, and you're guarding artwork of the prodigy of, you know, the person who started allegedly the avant-garde movement in the 1920s. You know, the artist Anna Lipinskaya. And you draw eyes on her painting where there were not supposed to be eyes.
Well, who says they weren't? Maybe he saw that they needed eyes.
But it's not his art. And if going back to
Well, it is now.
Well, it is now if they charge him. And they didn't even want it. They blew it off. They're like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Is it really defacing the art if you put a face on it? Isn't a face better than not a face?
No, not if that's not the artist's intent.
It seems like he's not defacing the work. It seems like he's profacing the work. It seems like he's made the work better. Because I think it's better to have a face than not have a face. Would you rather not have a face, Catherine?
Not as a human, but there are art forms I make dolls without faces all the time.
Ooh, that's highly disturbing. If I didn't have a face and some Russian came and gave me a face, I'd be very thankful for that.
But we're not talking about a face, James. We are talking about a face. But we're talking about like the piece is called Three Figures, and it was an abstract eyeless thing.
Exactly. And now it has eyes, so it's better.
They attribute it to some kind of lapse in sanity.
Oh, right.
And I just want to put that on a t-shirt. Some kind of lapse in sanity.
He's just a hooligan. That's just what hooligans do. He's a young hooligan. What does he know?
I just thought, would you? What if you did a faceless painting and someone painted a face? So you did a, you know, or they painted horns or did something. I mean, it's not, it's, I think it's really awful.
Well, if I had sold the piece already.
You wouldn't care.
If they had bought it, or yeah, I wouldn't really care. And I would be mildly annoyed if it looked better after it was, quote, defaced.
Well, they said luckily the lines of the ballpoint pen he used weren't very deep, but the left-handed face crumbled slightly.
I don't care. But if it was work that I had hanging that was unsold, then I would kill it.
Yeah, and this was hanging in a gallery.
Yeah, it's old artwork. Nobody cares.
We all care about old artwork, don't we?
No.
Oh, I do.
I mean, some of it's good, but a lot of it's not. I mean, let's just move on, you know? What's happening today?
What is happening today?
Oh, well, you know, there's more cryptocurrency stuff.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I apologize. Well, surprisingly enough, there was a little bit of a problem with Melania's NFT that she tried to mint a couple months ago.
I saw that.
They started the bidding at, I think it was 180 cryptocurrency coins, whatever the hell were they. They were using some offshoot. They weren't using Bitcoin. They were using another cryptocurrency. It was a very strange thing, though, because the opening bid they placed on it was $180,000, just to make it simple. It was cryptocurrency, but let's just use dollars to make it a little bit easier to track. Mm-hmm. Basically, no one put any bids on it, and as it turns out, it sold for the opening bid of $180,000, which was well below what they wanted.
Yeah, they wanted $250,000.
But the weird thing was that the person who minted the NFT and posted the NFT also turned out to be the buyer of the NFT.
Right. But there were some theories about that.
Yeah. This is not above boards, right? There's something very fishy going on behind the scenes. And it's weird enough that the buyer was also the seller, but then they threw a third party in there as well. So
right.
The seller sent off some money to another account, let's say Vladimir's account, and then Vladimir sent the money back to the original account, and the original account bought the work. Which
right.
is really weird.
Right.
I'm just thinking that maybe Melania isn't doing things legally, or she's doing some sketchy shit here.
Well, the other theory was that the person who actually bought the piece didn't deal in crypto. So they fronted them crypto, it did the transaction, and then everyone was reimbursed, but then the deal actually went down in cash, which actually kind of made sense to me.
Oh, that totally makes sense, except they didn't back it up with any proof.
Right.
You could show that this is what happened, but they just said, oh, well, no. But they just paid us in cash and we cryptoed it.
But, you know, when has cash been transparent? Whereas cryptocurrency transactions are transparent, correct?
And that's exactly how people figured out that the buyer was also the seller.
Right.
So they didn't say that by themselves. Once it was revealed that the buyer and the seller were the same entity, then they said, oh, well, you know, we were just handling the crypto transaction for someone else.
Right.
It opens the wider question, as always, is, this is all this NFT stuff is shrouded in mystery, and you can only go so deep into figuring out who's going where and what and what's happening. And it leads into the other story. There was a story in Axios, and this is the title of the story. This is how Bitcoin bailout could happen. And I think they're stretching that a little bit. But what I liked about this article was that it highlighted a different type of cryptocurrency, which I was hitherto unfamiliar with, or hitherto, I don't know. Before this, I was unaware of this cryptocurrency.
That sounds better. Thank you.
It's really more of a type of cryptocurrency as opposed to a specific one, and it's called stable coins. So the gimmick behind the stable coin is I pay $100 in U.S. funds and buy basically $100 worth of stable coin. And those two things get tied together. So let's say James, that would be me, gives Fred $100 and Fred gives me 100 stable coins. Next week, I can go and cash out, and I can get that $100 back. It's tied to the value, as opposed to Bitcoin, where if I give Fred $100 to buy Bitcoin, he gives me $100 worth of Bitcoin, but then, you know, my $100 is gone, and I just keep the Bitcoin, and it goes up and or it goes down, and it's completely not tethered to anything but its own value.
Right, which was, again, the response to Melania's, and, you know, I don't want to accuse her of doing anything untoward, but, you know, like, there was a crash in the crypto right when she did this transaction. It was like beginning of January, right? And so that's why maybe she didn't get a lot of bids on it.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Crypto is very fluctuates a lot. So that was another part of it, but it was kind of a lesser part. It's just basically her NFT failed and fell flat on its face. And they put it up and they had to buy it themselves as to, you know, not lose face, I guess.
I didn't realize with crypto until I skimmed this article. I mean, quite frankly, I just did skim this article. My eyes were crossing, like, oh, stablecoin. But it makes sense to tie it because that it kind of tethers it more in reality for me. Is that how you see it?
Oh, in theory, that's how it could work. But, oh, my misguided little Catherine. This is crypto. So that's not how it actually works. Think of it.
But that's what they said in the first page.
Yes. But let's start over. I give my $100 to Fred. Fred gives me 100 stablecoins. Each one is worth a buck. In theory, Fred holds that money for me. So Fred is kind of like, you could think of him, I guess, as a pop-up bank.
Okay.
It's not a real bank.
Bank of Fred. He's not a real bank.
And he doesn't have to follow any rules that a regular bank would have to. And so Fred could take my $100 and just take off and never talk to me again, right?
Okay.
So there's no real connection. Their stablecoin is a myth. It's not really stable. You're not dealing with any kind of institution that has any kind of legal backing whatsoever. So that's the whole myth of the stablecoin. The stablecoins are a great idea, but they don't actually exist. Now, the article is trying to make out the problem with the stablecoins as being, since they are sort of theoretically attached to real currency. And so the idea, I'm sorry, I'm getting all confused. The idea behind the stablecoin is Fred, once he gets my $100, he then either holds it in a bank and he can make a little bit of interest on that, or he can buy like a CD or something like that, a certificate of deposit, or make some other short-term investment to make a little bit of money while he's holding my money for me, essentially. So the worry is if there's a run on the stablecoin itself, people are going to start pulling it out, and then they're going to start trying to sell those CDs, and they have to pull Fred has to go and pull the money out of the bank accounts and the CDs, and that could cause a run in the real, quote, the real economy. And so it would spread out, and then to bail it out, the Fed would have to come in and bail out the CDs and the banks, and then that would help bail out the cryptocurrency. But Fred doesn't have any obligation, really, no legal obligation to bail me out. And that's the big problem.
That's interesting.
It's highly disturbing. Oh, yeah. There was another part of this that was really nice, too.
Okay.
If this was a way to tie U.S. dollars to a cryptocurrency and stabilize the cryptocurrency, I give my $100 to Fred. He gives me 100 stable coins. I could then turn around and give my 100 stable coins to, say, I don't know, some guy named Vladimir. And then he could go back to Fred and cash out. So that's basically transitioning money from one person to the other, but without having to use any of the banks or any other financial institutions that could be traced. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Kind of.
Well, yeah, it's kind of just asking to be exploited for illegal usage, as all cryptocurrencies are.
Right. So,
do you have questions, Catherine?
I do have questions because it brings back the whole thing. It's like we talked about several episodes ago in terms of the crypto. It's like someone just had this idea. It's like, let's have a new currency.
Right.
We'll call it junk.
Junk.
And we'll all decide like, you know, what it's worth, and we'll make it go up and down. And like, based on what's the market? How did the cryptocurrency market fall when Melania posted her NFT, and then there was that big debacle in the crypto, and like, oh God, it's like tumbling. It's not a stock market, right? Or is it?
Well, it's basically a stock market, but there's nothing underpinning it necessarily, aside from your own confidence in it. So it's a little bit like gold, but then gold is at least itself
a thing,
a physical substance.
Right. Right.
But the value of gold is largely decoupled from its actual value.
Right.
So it's similar to that. Now, the problem with cryptocurrencies is that it's all speculation within the community. One day you buy one Bitcoin for $20,000, and 6 months later, you could cash that out for $40,000. That's a great investment. Unfortunately, you know, it fluctuates a lot.
Right.
It goes up and it goes down. And even though most of the value of it comes from speculation from within the cryptocurrency community itself, it's also still vulnerable to outside pressures. So when China says, hey, you know what? We're not going to have any more Bitcoin mining in our country, the Bitcoin crashes. Or when a few months later, when China says, you know what? We're not going to let you do any transactions at Bitcoin. That also crashes. So there are a lot of external pressures that can either cause it to rise or lower. And it doesn't seem like there are very, very many external pressures that cause it to go up.
Oh, I
just
see.
Just go down.
Just go down. Yeah, that is pretty scary because that's just what we need is more pressure on the actual financial systems.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the nice thing is that the cryptocurrencies are over here on the left-hand side, not just in their own whole world. That whole thing could collapse and really not affect the real economy at the moment really that much. I mean, a lot of people would lose a lot of money, but it's not tied up in stocks or anything. It's not like the market would crash. Right. At least not yet. Now, there are institutional investors have started moving into this space because they see the mad amount of increases mm-hmm. that the cryptocurrency has to offer. But that's the only real danger is once it becomes something that most people hold, then it becomes a little bit dangerous. Right now, we're a little bit lucky mm-hmm. because those shitty Wall Street guys that brought us the 2008 housing bubble, and let's not pull any punches here, that they're completely responsible for this nonsense. And like two of them went to jail. Mm-hmm. So horrible, terrible stuff. But thankfully, they're not smart enough to figure out how to use cryptocurrency yet, because if they were, they'd be all over this shit.
Wow. Wow. Stablecoin is not stable. Is that the message?
Pretty much. No cryptocurrency is. And if someone comes to you and says, no, I have a stable one, that's not how crypto works, bro.
Right.
Crypto bro.
Crypto bro. Oh, God.
Of which, that's a thing.
That is a thing?
Crypto bros. Oh, yeah. No, that's just made me think buying the NFTs?
That just made me cringe so bad. Crypto bro. God.
That's who's on this. You have these young programmers who think they're smart and know it more than the rest of the world, and they think, oh, cryptocurrency is the future without seeing all the downsides. I don't know. I'm a little bit still concerned that I'm not seeing the bigger picture, the real value of cryptocurrencies and NFTs and things of that nature in the blockchain. I wonder, am I too old to see it, or am I just...
too smart to see it?
That is not a problem. I never worry about being too smart for anything.
Oh, my gosh.
But... you know, when Web 1, quote, was out and mm-hmm. around, and I loved it. You know, 1997-ish mm-hmm. is when I actually got involved, and I had an email, and then like a few months later, I had a website. I went from not having an email even, or web service, to having a website in probably 6 months. And that was back when you actually had to code your own websites. So I was really on top of that, and I was really engaged with it, and I loved it until we got Facebook, and then it, you know, crushed all my dreams.
Right, right. Mine too.
I worry if I'm just too old to get this crypto thing.
I don't think it's a function of age. I really don't. I think it's a function of, for me, it's like the money. You know, it's like when you start talking money and there are risks, I'm not a risky person, or actually I'm a risk averse person. And so something that seems maybe a little, I'm not saying shady, but just uncertain. I'm not going to waste time. Like, I don't run to casinos. I don't do sports book betting. I wouldn't play with crypto. I was fascinated with the NFTs in terms of selling art is a concept. But to invest or to really hold stake in this, A, I don't have enough money to mess with. And B, I mean, I don't have enough money to mess with. I mean, I don't want to lose. You know, I mean, it's pretty
A and
simple.
B.
Yeah. You know, A
so
to
like
Z.
Fight Club.
It's like Fight Club.
First rule of, mm-hmm. first rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. Mm-hmm. Second rule of Fight Club, don't talk about
exactly.
Fight Club.
Exactly. We're back to Fight Club. And so, you know, I don't think it's a function of age at all. I think it's a function of not wanting to lose your ass in something that's uncertain. And I think that's smart.
Well, it's not so much that. I mean, I understand there's always be risk involved, but are there actually any real tangible rewards to it? I guess one thing about the early web was that when you were involved with it, it was about knowledge and information.
Right.
That was really Web 1 was posting information on the web, whether it be a blog or Wikipedia or whatever, and not really getting much financial return from it from mm-hmm. from a blogging standpoint, from an individual standpoint, but you were dealing in knowledge and information.
Right.
You were gaining knowledge on how to do it, and you were sharing information either about yourself or about your hobbies or whatever. Whereas cryptocurrency and the blockchain is not exclusively, but almost exclusively about money when you really boil down to it.
Yes, it is.
I guess that just seems a little bit less interesting or noble than Web 1. When it was about information and knowledge?
Well, it's just a different aspect.
Well, different aspect. Okay. Well, I think of knowledge and information as being completely different things from just currency. Currency is, you know, something you all have to work with, but in and of itself doesn't have any value, right? Currency itself doesn't actually have any value because it doesn't do anything. It's a placeholder for value.
Right.
Or maybe I'm just too old.
No, I don't think you're too old. I don't think you're too old. I think, you know, for me, it's the risk averse and the fact that there's not a whole lot of oversight.
But that's the problem. Risk aversion is something that happens to old people.
I've always been risk averse. I was out of the womb and I was risk averse.
I don't think absolutely. That's true. I think we all take risks when in our youth, and we take fewer risks as we get older. That's the whole process.
I was always afraid of everything.
Really? I don't think that's true.
Pretty much.
You wouldn't have never gone to the Bee Museum. You go out to places. You talk to people. You experience things. Or at least you did before COVID.
I did before COVID.
My Valentine's Day present to you, Catherine, is next week I'm going to come over and I'm going to hit you in the head with a hammer so that you forget about COVID. And you can go back and just live a week like it was normal. And you'll be looking around like, why is everybody wearing a mask? That's weird. And you can go to a poetry slam. You can go to Costco. You can do all these things and have a week.
I would like a week without COVID.
All I need is a hammer. That's it.
If I had a hammer.
If I had a rocket launcher.
This is a weird podcast.
You're a weird podcast.
And we have to leave on a happy note.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
God, are you doing anything for Valentine's Day, James? Getting back to the front.
No, I did one thing. I did one thing romantic one time, and I think that was all I had
in me. One thing one time.
This is when my wife was in veterinary school. I bought some flowers and put them on her car dashboard. So when she got out of class and went to her car, she was bowled over by not only the aroma of flowers filling her car, but also the visual spectacle that was the flower bouquet.
Oh, how sweet.
And she appreciated that, but she's not a student anymore, so you know, I can't really sneak up on it. If I did that now, it would probably be a week before she saw them, because she doesn't drive very much.
They'd be like glued to the windshield. You'd be like squeegeeing them off. That wouldn't work. That's not going to work. You have to do something. What could you do?
Well, these prepackaged things
No, no prepackaged.
But I'm saying Valentine's Day itself is a prepackaged idea. It's kind of nonsense. It's like, ooh, this one day a year, you're supposed to be extra romantic. I don't feel like that. That seems like counter-romantic.
Yeah, don't force me to be romantic.
To being forced into it. Right. It's like you're going through the motions of it now just because someone tells you this is the romance day.
It's so silly.
Me no likey.
I don't like you either. Likey. But you could still do something fun.
That's the whole goddamn point. Anything you do, it's just playing into the
anything.
Hands.
Okay, so we just won't. Don't buy chocolate, don't buy flowers then.
Well, I'll buy chocolate as I usually do.
Okay.
For myself.
Okay, for myself.
And what is this, the Super Bowl thing you talked about? What is that?
Isn't there a Super Bowl this weekend?
I don't know, what does that mean? What is a Super Bowl?
It's the football game. I don't know. I don't watch football. I don't even know who's playing.
I don't either, actually. I'm kind of a fan of football because I played it. I enjoyed football, but I don't watch it because the NFL's terrible.
I don't know who's playing, and I won't be watching. I'm back to painting.
I might watch it for a few minutes, just see if it's interesting. And it's probably the one game a year that's worth watching because of the commercials.
Right.
Plus, it should be theoretically one of the best games of the year, so you know, if you can sit through all the commercials, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just going to make a pizza, and I'm working on a little piece of art right now. I've been painting.
Of course, the problem is I'll probably completely forget. What is it? Is it this Sunday?
I think so.
Yeah, I'll be out bicycling. Oh, that'll be fantastic. There'll probably be nobody on the roads.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That'd be really good. That used to be the time when we'd go down to Tucson to the bead show because it always crossed over. One of the weekends would be the Super Bowl weekend. And I'd wait to go down there because there was hardly anyone there.
That's
and
good,
it was
yeah.
phenomenal.
So there you go.
So
take this advantage. So take this opportunity.
Opportunity.
To take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, head down to the bead show in Tucson.
Or go to Costco.
I
bet all those white incels aren't going to be there.
Oh, my God.
maskless incels.
I think maskless dreams.
Maskless dreams.
People used to have dreams about like waking up in a, like all of a sudden you're sitting in your classroom and you're, you know, no clothes and all this nakedness. And my new anxiety dream is like driving somewhere and being maskless or all of a sudden finding myself in a crush of people at a concert,
Catherine,
and not having a mask.
You really need to get out more because that's really sad.
I know. I mean, it's an anxiety. This has been going on for almost 2 years, nigh on 2 years.
I know. I'm saying you need to get out of this. You need to break out of the cycle you put yourself in.
Oh, God, I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying with systematic desensitization.
I don't know what that is.
Don't worry about it. I made
you.
It up for my own benefit. No, it's not. It's actually a term of art.
Well, then don't say you made it up.
No, I made it up for my own treatment plan because, of course, I don't seek help outside of my own brain.
Yeah, do your own research. Do your own treatment.
I did my own research. Yeah, me and the rest of the
do your
the
own treatment.
Internet. Yeah, so my treatment plan, but I decided I know where to go and where not to go. And let's just get off it. My mind is riddled with, you know, a very good friend has COVID right now. I've never seen her sicker. It's very scary to watch someone who's been twice vaxxed and boosted have this kind of response to the virus. And
sorry to hear that.
It's horrible.
Did I tell you that Christopher finally got COVID?
No.
Oh, yeah, he got it. He was very sick for 3 days, but got over it. It's just, it's nice that I won't have to hear whining about everyone vaxxed in his neighborhood and his family got it except for him, and he's unvaxxed. Well, guess what? Can't say that anymore.
Oh, he didn't have a vaccination?
He was not vaccinated.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway. Speaking of the NFL, mm-hmm. I just had one question for you, one other question I've been thinking about. So, you know, the Washington, formerly the Washington Redskins, changed their name to interim name of the Washington football team.
Right.
And now they are the Washington Guardians, which isn't a terrible name, but it seems a little bit, I don't know.
So I thought it was silly.
Wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Here's the truth of the matter. And this is going to sound maybe a little silly itself, mm-hmm. but I was kind of digging the name Washington football team.
Me too.
There was something. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm not crazy. Well, I guess, well, if you agree with me, then that probably indicates it is crazy, but there was something so kind of simple and straightforward about it that I kind of liked.
Well, it's
the Washington football team.
It's pure. Well, when they adopted that name, I thought, you know, why don't they change everyone's name? Why do we have to have mascots? And what is all this about? And why do people run around?
Mascots are awesome. You have to have someone running around in
a rooster outfit or whatever.
I don't know.
I just think it's so. But like, why was it the Washington Guardians? Now that's it. It just sounds like something like with Titans and Guardians. I mean, why not just the Washington football team? This football team. I thought it was simple.
A lot of time when they're calling the games, they just refer to the city that they're in, right?
Exactly.
Well, Washington's up 7 points. Ooh, Washington just got a field goal.
Right. And their logo could have just been a football with team on it.
Yeah, that's a little generic, though. I don't know what they've done.
Totally
with their,
generic.
Their logo.
I'm just a minimalist at heart.
You can do just like a kind of a metal thing. I mean, that's not nice. Cowboys is a stupid name. I've always hated that name. But at least they have the star, and that's a really simple, straightforward logo. So.
Right. So I would just say the Dallas football team.
Well, the other problem with that, though, is that these teams move from time to time, so Dallas becomes something else. It becomes Sacramento or Tucson, like Tucson could ever get a football team.
The Tucson, what would they be called?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to trash on Tucson, but if it wasn't such trash, it wouldn't be so hard to, easy to trash on them.
Don't be hating on Tucson. I'm looking at houses down there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck with that.
I know. I need a lot of luck with that.
They have like full houses.
They have some gorgeous properties.
Like real houses?
They have some gorgeous properties.
They have all the walls and ceilings and stuff?
They actually have indoor plumbing. Uh-huh.
I know. It just seems like, I know Breaking Bad happened in New Mexico, but it seems like Tucson would be a great place.
No, it's far from Breaking Bad. I friggin' love Tucson. I've got some really good friends there, and I would love to live there. Politically, it's much more in line with my vibe.
Is it?
Oh God, yeah.
I don't know if you know the real Tucson or not, but anyway. On that note, the Tucson football team.
Yes.
Or the Tuscan. They are so, you know, this is the weird thing about Tucson.
Tucson.
They put on airs. I don't understand how they pronounce their name. What are they, from Italy now? Where are they coming from with that nonsense? Tucson.
Tucson.
It's Tucson. Can you explain that to me?
I can't. I would have to do some research, and I just don't find it interesting enough to take any time to do that. But if you go a little further south, on like, what is that, I-19 down toward Mexico?
Yeah, you get to Mexico.
And you run into that little, but there's that little artist community, Tuvac.
Tuvac.
Which is spelled T-U-B-A-C.
He's on Voyager. He's the Vulcan on Voyager.
No, but it's actually a place, but that's pronounced with like a V instead of a B. And I don't know. Language is not my thing.
But that is nothing like Tucson.
I wish it was Tuscany. I'd be down with that.
Tuscany. I didn't say Tuscany. It's Tuscan or Tuscan.
Tucson.
Right? Tucson. Thank you.
Tucson.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I really do like Tucson. And I've wanted to move down there for a while. The only thing that holds me back.
That makes one of us.
I know that makes one of us in this household too. No one, they can't stand it. But the traffic really blows because they're.
Oh, does it?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about Phoenix and all of these stupid freeways we have here. And it can move traffic off of the side streets pretty much. You know, you've got all kinds
pretty
of
bad traffic here. Though,
yeah,
too.
Pretty bad traffic. But toe to toe, it's like so much worse because their freeway. Well, when you're driving down the 10, you're heading south, wherever the hell you're heading on that, because the road turns and I just get all confused. But I know the freeway kind of goes like through the middle of Tucson because like Tucson used to be mostly to the left, like when I was growing up here. And then now it's like on the Marana side.
I don't think you should be driving.
But mostly now you just drive through. Yeah, mostly on the left of like the freeway.
Oh boy.
Like as you're heading, and then you just turn off. And now there's stuff on the Marana side, which is on the right.
You're supposed to say north, south, east, or west. But the road on the left has no meaning.
Well, it does if you're on the road.
No.
No, James.
Which side of the road?
Bear with me. I'm driving my car.
Oh, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can.
But the road turns at some point, and you're no longer going south. You're going east or west. And I don't even know which way you're going. I think you're probably going
west. It happens here in Phoenix, too.
Anyway, my point being, there is no freeway, per se, in actual Tucson proper. So you go on this road to get to other side streets. And then when you get to the side streets, all hell breaks loose. There's no other freeway system in Tucson. They're just all side streets. And the main thoroughfare, I-10, goes, this is such a boring discussion, but it just goes.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to cut it.
It just goes through the center of the friggin' town, and it's a nightmare. And so, yeah, get stuck on Ina Road for 35 minutes trying to get back onto I-10.
The only cool thing about Tucson is it has the missile silo.
Oh, God.
Museum. The
I took a wrong turn once in Tucson, and I ended up in that airplane graveyard area.
Oh, that's interesting. I forgot about that. So there are two interesting things about Tucson, and that's about it. But anyway, it's just Tucson is as interesting as this podcast, which is why it's now over.
Okay.